Well, good morning. It's a joy to be with you this morning. What a great time of worship, amen. That was really good. It was amazing to see the little ones. I was sitting right up here, and they were just jumping up and down and making lion sounds. I loved it. It was amazing. But more importantly, we made a joyful noise unto the Lord. It was beautiful. And I'm so thankful that you're here this morning. Again, my name is Ben Kendrew. I am the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. We are one church in four locations. And again, we're just happy to do life with you and get into God's word and worship with you. We are in the last part of our current sermon series called Fresh Start. How many of you need a fresh start this morning? Maybe some of you are just like still tired. Some of you are still tired, I could tell by that. But we all need a fresh start, and I know I do. And one of the areas that I need a fresh start in is when it comes to my time. I don't know if you, do you have enough time in your schedule to do all the things that you can do? Lots of shaking heads, yeah. And so what we want to do is we want to look today at what the Bible has to say about time and how we're stewards not only of our finances, but the other gift that God gives to us is our time. And it's an important thing for us to consider as followers of Jesus, and what it means to be a follower is to continue to think about our time and how are we managing our time well. What does our schedule look like? He says you can tell a lot by someone's pocketbook and where their money's going to. The same is also true that if you look at someone's schedule, you can see where their priorities are. Amen. And so that's what we're looking at. I wanted to share some quotes with you about time and just kind of where life is right now. The first one is this: life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. Soren Kierkegaard said that. Here's another one: the key is not spending time, but investing in it. Stephen Covey, who said that. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not come. We have only today. Let us begin. Mother Teresa said that. And then one of my favorites, the great saint J.R.R. Tolkien, says, all we have to do is decide what to do with the time that is given to us. Amen? And I think that's some truth. There's some truth to that. We think about time. And I, as a pastor, as a parent of two adult kids now, I was in that season. I'm in a different season. We're in college season. And we just feel like spread thin, like just a little bit of butter on some toast, right? You just spread thin. And where's your time going? Where is our time? What is that all about? And so time is that one thing that you and I have to spend without checking our balance, right? It's something that we cannot get back. Time is, once it's spent, it is gone, right? And so that's the thing that we have to look at is our time. You can always make more money. You can always learn something. But you can't get that time back. Have you ever watched a terrible movie or sat through a meeting and you're like, I'm never going to get that time back? Is that anybody? Okay. All right. I'm hoping you're not feeling that way this morning. But that's the thing. We want God to not only be the Lord of our lives, but as we do that, we're going to submit our calendars, our time, where we're prioritizing our life. Now, I want to say this at the top. I am not trying to give you tickets to a guilt trip this morning. What I'm asking you to do is I'm challenging you to think about your calendar and how you spend your time with God. Because I'm in the same boat as you. Life is very busy. There are more things to do, and we're all busy, every single one of us. But I want to challenge you is that when you're prioritizing your time and you have a fresh perspective and a fresh start and saying, I'm going to tell my time where it's going and what I'm going to do with it, you can have a fresh perspective, and God will redeem that and give you purpose and give you a direction. So that's our hope this morning. So we can get more money, we can get more skills, but time is that one thing that just kind of slowly slips away, doesn't it? Our big idea, and here's where we're going this morning, our big idea is this, a big idea if you're new, is what we simply want you to remember. This is what we want you to take away from this morning's sermon and looking at God's word. So a fresh start with our time pursues your God-given purpose. How many of you know you have a purpose that God has placed in your life? You have that. A fresh start with our time practices intentional living, meaning that you're going to just not just waste away watching streaming things, okay? But there's more intentional things you can do. That's not bad all the time. You need that sometimes. I'm not saying that. But there needs to be more intentionality in the way in which we live our lives. And the third thing is this,
is that we prioritize God daily. We prioritize God daily, not when we feel like it or not when we get around to it, right? That's what we're called to, a fully devoted follower, someone that it's moving forward in their faith, someone that has maturity, is going to prioritize God daily. And that's our hope and prayer for you, is this big idea this morning. And I don't know where you are. The tension is this, is that we only have so much time. We already raised our hand and made the, you know, giggles, that we're just like, there's not enough time in a day to do the things we want to do. But here's the thing, that God only gives us 24 hours a day. That's it. And so we want to make the most impact, the most impact with our time, and honor God with that time. Isn't that what we want to do? And that's why you're here on a Sunday. You're honoring God with your time, and I appreciate that. And so the Apostle Paul, there's a passage of Scripture, one of my favorites, Romans chapter 12. So if you have your Bible, open up to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be jumping around through various Scriptures today. But Paul is writing to the Roman church. He's calling to these Christians, and he's asking them to think about duty, meaning how they live, how they carry themselves out as they're believers. They believe in Jesus, and so they have a duty in how to live out their lives on a daily basis. And then the next thing he wants them to think about in this verse is doctrine, and it's a churchy word of how we believe and why we believe. And so he wants them to think about what they believe and how they live it out. And so that's what Romans 12 is about. And so he's calling Christians in this time, and I would argue today it's also for us, to align our lives, align our time and our schedules with our relationship with God, with our relationship with Christ, making it the highest priority. For Paul, that's what he was preaching and teaching in his time, in his missionary journeys, particularly in Romans chapter 12. He was saying that your relationship with Jesus should be the paramount, the highest priority in your life. Is that you this morning? Is he the highest point in your relationship? Is he the pinnacle? Is he the highest priority in your relationship, in your faith, in your faith journey? And so he's also calling them to trust into God's word. Put their trust in God's word, though he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do, because he's a good God. Amen. And so here's what Romans chapter 12 says. This is what it says. That was a little setup for you. I had to set the table. So Romans 12 says this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you." Say transform. "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, giving you a fresh start, if you will. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." Isn't that great? That's good news. That's how God sees us. He has a plan and a purpose for us that's good, pleasing, and perfect. And so as believers, if we're ones that say, "I'm a follower of Jesus," here's what we need to do. Our time has to also be surrendered to God. Our schedules need to be surrendered to God. And so he's saying that if you believe this, if you believe that he is all these things, then this is what your duty is, to live this out. And so a fresh start, and you think about how busy you are. How about this? Maybe just surrendering your time, repurposing and giving a different perspective, and thinking how, hey, this is the way moving forward today. As we move into the summer, I'm going to lay down this, sacrifice my time and prioritize, make it the highest priority in my schedule. Now listen, do you have to do, like, you've got to make money to pay the bills, you got kids, you got all kinds of people to care for, like all that stuff matters, but what matters is where's God in all that? Okay, that where's God in all? He wants to have that place, that place of prominence in our lives. And so when you know God's will for your life, and this is what Paul was trying to say in Romans 12, and I love this verse. If I had a lower back tattoo, that's probably what I put right there, Romans 12. But he was saying this: when you know God's will for your, I'm sorry, I threw it off. I shouldn't have. When you know God's will for your life, then it'll determine your priorities. When you know God's will for your life, you'll know what you're going to do with your life. When you know God's will for your life, it's going to give you purpose and direction and clarity. And so much of us, we're just going through the motions. We're just kind of droning along every day. And so that's not what we're called to do. Jesus didn't go on the cross for us to just go through the motions, right? He wants us to walk with purpose. He wants us to have a meaning, a God-given purpose. Now, for me, for my life, my God-given purpose, I've been called to ministry. I'm a pastor. That's not for everybody. But what you could be called in your sphere of life and influence is God has given you a purpose. Maybe you're really good at art. Maybe you're really good at organization. Maybe you're good with finances. I don't know what that is, or music, so on and so forth. God wants you to use that for his purposes, for your good, because it's good and pleasing and perfect. That's what it's called to. And so when we think about that, our lives, when it comes to our schedules, we don't. We kind of like lose focus when we just kind of get in the rhythms of life that are just like without purpose, without direction, without focus. And Paul's calling back the Roman church to remember, do not conform to the pattern of this world, right? And the world is just vying for our attention. The world wants our time. The world wants our money. The world, there's billboards everywhere. It's just so God is saying this, I want all of you. I want to be a priority in your life. That's what God is saying to us this morning. He wants to be the number one spot in your life. If there was in our hearts right here, there was a seat and a throne, who's sitting on that? Is it Jesus or you? Is it work or Jesus? Is it money or Jesus? Who's sitting on the throne of your life? He wants to have that highest priority. And here's the thing, that sometimes we get caught up and this is a fresh start, but we're asking you to kind of have this like fresh start, fresh perspective. Okay, I'm losing my calendar. It's getting away from me. I'm going to surrender my calendar to Jesus. I want God to use me and to have this direct purpose for my life. And so a fresh start with our time is all about knowing what matters most in this life. Amen? That's what matters. It requires us to know what matters most in our lives. What is our priority for today? What's your priority? What takes precedent on your schedule? You know, how many of you have keep a schedule on your phone? How many of you do the old school one where you write it down in a day timer? Anybody still do that? I had a class at Geneva where we had to take time management. It was like the Stephen Covey planning. I had to write everything I'd done, like literally washed dishes or went to the bathroom. Like everything had to be written down during the semester. I don't do that now, but it was this like keeping track and giving our time and telling where it's going, managing our time and finding that tension. So the tension, folks, listen, for us as a church, we're busy. We get pulled in different directions. But when it comes down to the heart of it, you know, sometimes you're not going to be here. Life happens. We understand that. But here's the thing. God wants that priority in your life. I want to encourage you, like, think about that. Is your schedule getting away from you to the point where you're just like, it's no longer a priority to you? Your faith is no longer a priority. God wants all of you. He wants even your time. He wants your schedule. So, you know, even if you have to schedule in your phone, Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights, 9:45. I encourage you to show up a little early, right? That'd be good. But be here on a Sunday. Make it a priority. What is that? Know the season you're in and don't write God out of the equation. Let him be part of that equation in your schedule. Let him be part of that. Ephesians, look at this. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 16 says this. Look carefully then how you will walk, not as unwise as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And so again, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He's using the word walk, to say walk equals the way you live. How are you living? So look carefully how you live. Look carefully how you spend your time. Right? Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. And so we want to understand that. We feel it all around us. We see it all around us. We see it in the news. But as we look at this, our walk, it has to align with Jesus. It has to align with Scripture. It has to align with what God has put a purpose on your life. Like, you know, like, God has given you a purpose and a gift set. He wants you to use those. You know, what you're saying to yourself, what is your gift set? Well, I encourage you to go to our BC 101, talk to Wayne and Chris. We'll help you figure that out. But it's usually looks like this. What is it that gives you joy? What are you usually good at? What do you thrive at? What gives you life? You know, those are the things that God gives to you. So he wants you to use your God-given purpose and direct it to him. How do you keep a weekly calendar, right? Like, that's another question. How do I keep my weekly calendar? Am I connecting? I know Mel and I have this thing where we're like, what's going on for today? We'll do it at the night. We'll do it nighttime. We'll sit down. We'll talk.
And then she'll say, this is what needs to happen. You need to go pick up this, or you need to go to the store and do this. And we kind of check in. Does anyone else do that? Okay. Just Mel and I. Okay, that's good. That's fine. But we talk about it. And so we want our walk to be on purpose. We want to use our God-given abilities. And so whatever your God-given abilities, work that into your calendar. Write it down. Make it into your calendar. Going on a date with your spouse. Put that in there. That's a priority, right? Your relationship with Jesus, make that a priority. So that's what we want you to do. How about this? We have coming up the Pittsburgh Mission Trip. The Pittsburgh Mission Trip is on June 27th through the 28th. It'll be at the North Braddock campus for some training, and then we'll go come back here to the north side and do some community-specific work. And the idea is we want to take our time on mission to be on a people of mission, to be on focus and God-given purposes, using those abilities to serve the community around us. How many of you have been on the Pitt Mission Trip before? Please raise your hand. If you don't know what I'm talking about, these are people you could talk to. These are stories that are right here. So we have some things planned. I'm excited. We have a team. So I encourage you, you can hit the QR code. You could talk to someone at the connection point. There are applications to fill out. But the Pitt Mission Trip is one way that we can be on purpose, using our God-given purposes for God's glory. So using our time well. So write that down. Write it into your schedule. How about this? Some other practical kind of tools. Dealing with things in one-week increments. We have have a devotional life. On my phone, I do this daily thing where I have a devotional. I listen to it in my car. I read it on my desk when I get home. My work schedule, I know when all the meetings are. There's so many different apps for me to check, but I always know what I'm required to do. How about this? Just study time on your own. Like in writing those things down, how you're reading or studying God's word. How about this one? This is crazy. Balancing your own bank account. Scheduling that, writing that down. We have an app called You Need a Budget, YNAB, and it's something that we do often. Mel is way better than I am, I admit it. So, but it's something that we schedule in these increments. And then, of course, we try to have some dinner, sit down as a family, we try to do that. So it's having time, have purpose in our lives. And so I don't know what your schedule looks like, or if it's all radical and just kind of all over the place, but God wants to use your time and not be conformed to the patterns of the world. Everybody's busy, but I want to encourage you as believers to surrender that time to your God-given purposes and watch what God will do in your life. How about this? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says this, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so they understand they're not going to get caught in the busy trap. And that's the thing. I think busyness is what traps a lot of us. We get so caught up, and we get so caught up. And then next thing we know, we haven't, checked in with our spouse. We haven't been to church. We haven't read our Bible. We haven't, whatever it is, we get caught in that trap of busy. Have you ever been caught in the trap of busy? Yes. All right. Pastor Keith Tusey, who said this, "Busy is being under Satan's yoke." Ooh, it's heavy words, right? And so when we get so busy, it distracts us from looking away and looking at toward Jesus and our God-given purposes. And so I think it's important for us to understand that. Is that busy, saying you're busy, can distract you from what God wants to do and how God wants to bless you in your life. Some time wasters. There's some stats that we have. Social media, the average person spends 2.5 hours a day on social media. And I would say that's probably higher, right? It's probably higher. How about this? Binge watching videos or shows. It says this, the average person spends 4 hours a day doing this. Video games. How many of you play video games or on the sticks? Anybody? All right. I'm proud of you for raising your hand. Double hands right there. Video games, an average 2 hours a day or more, right? It could be more. Technology, surfing the web, Amazon, me time, hobbies, all these different things. But if they have a God-given purpose, like God wants to use those times, redeem. He wants you to have this Sabbath time. But at the same time, some of these things pull us away from God. And they distract us. And so he wants us to surrender our time and our hearts and our priorities to him. And so that's the tension. That's the tough thing to do, is that we get caught up in doing all the stuff.
and all the things, and we lose our priority. And God wants you to have a purpose, but he wants to be directed to him and his, your time surrendered to him. Look at how Jesus spent his time in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 38. I'm going to read this to you. It says, after Jesus left the synagogue, he was with James and John. They went to Simon Andrew's house, or Peter. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever, and they told Jesus about her right away. And so he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and he helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That's very convenient, right? Verse 32, that evening, okay, see how the day is progressing? That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. And so Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. That's a lot of ministry happening in a short amount of time. He was very intentional with his time. He wasn't saying, I'm too busy. But he surrendered to what God had for him. He surrendered his will. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Verse 35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. We got to go to Israel in 2005, and I actually got to see where this, they think this is where Jesus went way often to pray. There's this little bench, and, this, and I sat there on there, and it was overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and there was a road where Alexander the Great and many other conquerors came, and Jesus sat in the midst of all that and prayed. He went away. He had intention with his time. He was on purpose. You know, if Jesus is doing that, we need to do that. He spent time with God, and so that's important for us to look at. Lost my place here, I'm sorry. 36, thank you. Later, Simon and others went out to find him, and when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you, okay? In verse 38, but Jesus replied, we must go to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them. That is why they came. And so you can see how this began in the day, and then all through the day there was ministry happening, and all these different things and rhythms that were happening. But there was purpose, there was there was intentionality, there were all these different things that Jesus did. And so as we look at our own schedules, you know, we're not asking everybody to go cast out demons. That'd be cool if you did, but we're asking you to think about your schedule. How are you managing your time for the Lord? So when you think about, there's an illustration where there's you can YouTube this, but that would waste time, who knows, but if you, there was a big bowl, and in this bowl they put rocks, and then they put little rocks, and they say, is there any more room? And then they put sand in there, and they would say, is there any more room? Then they would put water in there, you know. So there's always room. There's ways for us to manage our time, to find ways to prioritize our schedules, you know. I know things seem busy. You're like, how am I going to get through this? You have 24 hours in a day, but you can find ways if you're surrendering and you're on point and on purpose and on mission to do that. How about this? A fresh start with our time practices intentional living. It practices intentional living. And if you go to our North Braddock campus, if you've ever been there, on the wall is this scripture verse I'm about to read to you. And so in this psalm, in Psalm 90, it's about time. It's about life, it's about death, it's about the meaning of life, it's about all of these things that Christians deal with and go through and kind of examine. And so as we see this, it's also actually one of the oldest written psalms in there, so I think that's interesting. But it says this, Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Say, number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And so the more you're intentional, you're on God's given purpose for your life, and you're living intentionally, you're numbering your days, you're planning out and you're giving that to God, guess what comes with that? Guess what the blessing that God gives us? It's wisdom. It's wisdom. How many of us need wisdom in our lives? We all do, right? And so as we number our days, we tell our time where it's going, we're giving God the priority. He's going to bless you and give you wisdom in that. And there's many times where we just kind of let our schedules kind of go all over the place. And in there, there's not much wisdom. But when we do that, when we number our days, like Psalm 90, verse 12 says, our time is it's such a resource that we have limited time of. But God's saying, if you just number your days, there's wisdom in that. And I don't know how you feel right now, like how your schedule is. Like, to me, like, I look at people's time, and like they talk to me, they're like, if I just had more time. And I'm like, I know. If I could just do this, I would be able to. And I'm like, I know. But God wants us to number our days. He wants us to have a priority and a relationship with him. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. Please understand that. But I am asking us to re-examine our hearts. Where are we putting our time? Where are we telling our days to go? And what wisdom are you learning from this? In our busyness, what do you learn from all that? How is God speaking to you in that busyness, right? But if we're numbering our days and submitting that to Him, I know because of what Scripture says that He's going to help us number our days. Our time is a resource that we only have so much of. And so we need to submit that and say, God, teach me to number my days. Help us to number our days so we can fulfill that. There's a really cool movie back in the day with a musical guy named Justin Timberlake. It's called In Time. And on their watch, they would have so much time. And after that time ran out, they died. Has anyone ever seen that movie? It's rated PG, so don't, you know. But in that movie, there's this movie about time. And so time was this precious commodity. It was how people paid for things. They didn't use money. They didn't use, but it was time. And so it was intentional. Everything that they did in this movie was intentional. There was desperation in that. And I think there's something to learn. There's wisdom in that, is that if we're not intentional with our time, we're going to miss what God has for us. We're going to miss everything that He has for us. How about this? The urgency that is within time. There's an urgency of time that we miss. It's this resource, right? We do not know how much time we have on this earth. We don't know if we're promised tomorrow. I had a colleague who just recently passed away in his 50s, just out of nowhere. That's way too young. You know, so we're not promised to tomorrow. And so it's important for us to make a priority and with our God-given purpose to be intentional, to really seek after God with all we have, because we are not permitted, or we're only given so much time, right? And so God wants us to be wise in that, and there is wisdom in surrendering your life to Him. And so what we sacrifice the most for is what we value the most. Let me say that again. We sacrifice the most for what we value the most. So whatever you see in your life is like, I'm going to sacrifice my time, my energy, my finances. That's what I value most. And so that's a good tell where your relationship is with God. And so listen, I just want to encourage you, is if Jesus is the priority in your life, He should be what you value most. Through the Gospels, Jesus demonstrated it. Paul, in his letters, that's what he was trying to demonstrate over and over again. What we value the most is where we're going to sacrifice for. There was an illustration in 2023, the Bureau of Labor and Industries, which many of you read their work, I'm sure. The Bureau of Labor and Industry has these stats. It says that people with personal care sleep 9.5 hours a day. They work let me just read it here. There's 5 hours a day for work, 4 hours a day for leisure, 2 hours a day for household chores, and 0.20 hours a day for civic organizations or religious activities, aka church. And so it's interesting. I don't have to, you know, we see this. Like, this is, there's not a lot of attention given to what they valued. So obviously we have to work, we have to do things, but with the time we have left, we've got to be intentional with where we place our time. And so that's what's an important thing for us to remember, is that our greatest ability is our availability. That's another Pastor Keith quote. I'm pretty sure Bill Parcells said that too, old football coach. But it's true. Like, your greatest ability is your availability. And so when you're showing up and you're being present and you're being amongst God's people, that's one of the greatest gifts you can give. And the way the music, the worship, and the prayer, that would have been absent without you here this morning. And so I'm so thankful that you were available to be here and worship together. And so when I think about that we want to manage our time, be intentional with that. We want to be available and show up and tell our time what to do. And so if we have a fresh start with our time, we pursue our God-given purpose, and then we have this practice daily living for God. And then the third thing is prioritizing God daily. Prioritizing God daily in our lives. And so when you wake up in the morning, I encourage you, like, spend some time in prayer. If you're not doing that, spend some time in prayer. Get on your knees, lay in your bed, go get coffee, open up your Bible. Spend some time, make it a priority. Write it down in your calendar. Make that a priority. Get into God's Word. Spend some time with Him. There are some practices that we need to do. So prioritizing God daily. Not only do we meet here for an hour or so every Sunday, but we also want to encourage you, it's the Monday through Saturday daily living, what God wants to see in your life. Matthew 6:33. Jesus says this: seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously. Live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. He will give you everything you need. Now listen, friends, I know that sometimes we worry and we have fear and anxiety. I'm part of that. I can think that and feel that. But here's the thing. God is saying this, that is, if we believe in him and we know that there's a God-given purpose and we're going to be intentional, that he wants us to understand that if we're a priority to him, if we're a priority to him, he will give you everything you need. But all we need to do is look to him. Find Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God is another way to see him. Your purpose is found in the perfect will of God. Your purpose is found in the perfect will of God. And here's the thing. As Christians, as we want a fresh start with our time, we're called to be the stewards of our time. How do we manage our time? Where's your time going in your calendar? There's another quote that I love. I'm going to share this quote. Martin Luther King said this. And he talked about the fierce urgency of now. I love that saying. Fierce urgency of now. He said this: we know we are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. There is no time for apathy or complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action. And so he's talking about the civil rights, but I would say this, this can also be applied to the way in which we live our Christian lives. There's a fierce urgency of now. Not only is there fierce urgency of now, but there's souls at stake. There's people that don't know who Jesus is, that we can use our time and see that. There's people that need to know about Jesus. The fierce urgency of now could be about your own relationship with God. Where are you right now? Are you distant with him? Are you guys tight right now? Or maybe there's some of you that don't even know Jesus, and there's a fierce urgency of now, like, I need to know him. Maybe that's you this morning. What's your fierce urgency of now? How are you prioritizing God in your life? And that's the fierce urgency that we all have to examine in our lives. And so, what are you on mission for? What are you on mission for? What are you part of that is bigger than yourself? God wants you to follow him. God wants your heart. He wants your mind and he wants your time. I invite you to stand. So Lord, I just pray right now. I pray for all my friends, the church. I pray for the visitors here. Lord, that we are guilty of being too busy sometimes. Would you forgive us and convict us and help us to have a fresh start with our time this morning? That we would make you a priority in our lives. That we would have a reset moment, a refresh moment here, right here, right now. That there's a fierce urgency of now, Lord, a priority that you want for us to use our God-given purpose, to be on mission, to prioritize you in our lives. And so I pray right now for those brothers and sisters here with heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus. And your fierce urgency of now is like you want to know him. You want to have understand what it means to have him be the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future. And you want to know this Jesus, and it's an urgent thing right now. And if that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, a fierce urgency of now, you'd like to know who Jesus is, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. And then for others, maybe you want to rededicate your life where you've become lax. Your schedule has got the best of you. Like a piece of toast with butter spread too thin, you're stretched all over the place. There's no fierce urgency in your life. And so, Father, I just pray right now for my brothers and sisters that want to rededicate their lives to the fierce urgency of now, that you would refresh our perspective and the way in which we live our lives, that we'd be intentional, that we'd make you priority, that we would stop making excuses, that we would not give in to busyness, but we would lead lives that are surrendered to you. So now if that's you, you want to recommit your life, I just want you to raise your hand real high. Real high. Take a bold step. Father, I pray your blessing upon those with their hands raised. I pray that they would commit their lives and their schedules and their time, that there would be a fierce urgency of now in their lives. Lord, they'd be able to walk with you and know you and grow in maturity. And Father, that you would call them closer to you as sons and daughters. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen. You may be seated.